Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I'm your host for today's show, Stephanie Whitehead, and I'm very excited because we've got some great information for our listeners today. But before we get into that, do me a favor and like and share and contact all of your colleagues and put this podcast out there. We are now on Labvine. We're affiliated with Labvine's platform Labstream. So not only can you catch this podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, but you can also hear us on Labvine. And so make sure that you share, comment, like, and don't be stingy, you know. Let all your lab friends know what we have going on here at Elaborate Topics. We love hearing from our listeners. Today's show, we have a very special guest to the show today, Ms. Nicole Colby. How are you doing today? Thank you for joining me.
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
No problem. Nicole has a very interesting laboratory journey, and she currently works for COLA as an organization. And before we started recording, I was letting her know that not only do I feel like this would be a great show for our listeners, but myself as well. So I've got my pen out and my notepad out because I've never worked with COLA before. I've never worked at an organization that was COLA accredited. And so I'm looking forward to learning more about that process as well as Nicole as a laboratory. Before we get too deep into the show, Nicole, though, thank you for joining me again. Like I said before, why don't you please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your laboratory journey?
Sure. So I graduated from the University of Kansas and joined a hospital in Maine. It's a smaller inpatient hospital, but 80 so beds in York, Maine. While there, you know, I really got to dig into a lot of aspects in the lab. I was the chemistry specialist, so I pretty much ruled my domain in chemistry, as well as digging into some of the other departments, really helping out blood bank and microbiology, as well as just overall running a laboratory. While I was there, I really found that I had a passion for working with others in making them confident in their skills and just overall improving the laboratory profession as a whole. So at that point, I kind of was looking for something that would help me have a bigger impact. And I did find that with COLA. I joined COLA in 2017 as a surveyor, so actually going out into laboratories, surveying to, you know, see if they are meeting the regulations and helping them to improve what they're doing. After that, I did kind of transition into being COLA's technical training specialist. So my role at COLA currently is to not only do some surveys, but as well as just educate COLA's technical staff. So I do train all of our surveyors who are going into labs and doing different surveys, as well as COLA's in-house technical staff. In addition to that, I do sometimes step in, and when laboratories need some good guidance, I do step in and help them provide information and suggestions on what they can do to improve. It is a very fulfilling job that I really, really enjoy, and I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit more about that.
And I like to ask this question to all of the laboratorians I interview, because I've only found one person out of the three seasons of shows that we've had that has answered this question with a yes. But did you go into your profession, medical laboratory scientist, did you go straight into that knowing, okay, I want to be a laboratorian? Or were you like the rest of us who kind of just stumbled upon laboratory science as a career? You walk past a random table at, you know, a career fair or undergraduate, you're wondering what you're going to do, and somebody pulls you and brings you into the laboratory.
Yeah, that's a funny story. I started college as a chemistry major, and about the end of my second year, I'm like, what am I going to do with a degree in chemistry? And it was at that point, I really was unaware of the medical laboratory profession, even though my father actually originally got his bachelor's degree as a medical technologist. He continued on to be a family practice physician. And I was really unaware of it. And he suggested this. I spent a week in a lab and said, this is it for me. And I have never turned back from that.
Really? Wow. And so I love asking that question because to me, it speaks to the advocacy that we all need to do. People need to know up front that this is a career option. And like I said, with the several interviews that I've done, I've only met one person who said, from high school, they knew they wanted to be a lab scientist and went directly. And all of the rest of us were like, what is this? Okay, that's cool. I like it.
Oh, 100%. We do need to do more advocacy on the field. There are so many people who, when they learn about it, they're like, wow, I never would have thought about that because we are in the background. And it really is up to us to share that information. And I mean, I will say that that is one thing that COLA is really working on. We do have what is called a Give Back 365 program. There's kind of two parts of that. And one of them is that we do go in and visit schools to foster awareness of careers in the medical laboratory field, try and get that early on that they are aware of the program. In addition to that, we also are providing scholarships to help students that are pursuing a degree in the field of medical laboratory science. So it's another reason why I'm proud of the organization I work for.
That's amazing. So with all of the advocacy, with the training, with the education, with the process improvement, what do you like most about your field or about the laboratory profession altogether?
I mean, laboratory profession as a whole, I really enjoy it. And I went into it because I do really like the analytical sciences. It is a way for me to help to influence patient care in a way that works best for me. I know that I am not the type of person that's going to be a nurse, but I have just as much or more impact on that patient being in the laboratory field.
And for me, I kind of want to get straight into it. We've mentioned COLA a couple of times as we've been talking. We've referenced it. But for those listening who may not know, can you elaborate on COLA, what it is as an organization? We've kind of just briefly tapped on some of its goals and initiatives for the laboratory profession. But COLA, as compared to other regulatory agencies like the CAP, that people may be more aware of, can you just elaborate on what it is and what they do and how they support the laboratory profession?
Sure. So COLA is a physician-directed organization. Our purpose really is to promote the health and safety through accreditation and educational programs. We really strive to be educational. I think that really makes us stand out a little bit different. We are an accrediting organization, so our role is to ensure that laboratories are meeting the CLIA requirements at a minimum. But our goal is to help and educate labs, not just to point out where they are not meeting those regulatory requirements, but to give them suggestions and guidance to be able to help them meet those goals that they need to be able to do what's best for their patients and just overall feel more confident in what they are doing.
And I know that as laboratorians, sometimes we can be skeptical people. I'm talking about you guys listening out there. We can be skeptical people. And so we've come with our own preconceived notions of inspectors, coming in like the police, looking at what we're doing and everybody straighten up and, put your lab coat on and all those things. But are there any common myths about either your role or COLA that you can debunk for us?
I mean, yeah, we, a lot of people are always nervous when we come in there. And my goal is not to come in there and make people feel bad and to make them feel like they're being penalized and worried that they're going to be shut down. I don't know how many times I've heard a lab, oh, we're worried about being shut down. No, my goal is not to come in there and make you feel bad. My goal is to come in there, help you feel good about what you're doing and just give suggestions on how to improve. You know, that is what we all strive for, is to be the best that we can be. And I want to come in there, all of COLA wants to come in there and help them be the best that they can be, which then overall leads for better outcomes for our patients, which is what we're there for.
Right. That should be the goal of, you know, any peer or accreditation, you know, assessment is really education, right? For the laboratory, again, to improve your quality.
Absolutely.
What can you do better? What best practices are out there? We don't work in a silo. All goes back to the patient. And so because you have perhaps seen so many laboratories and seen so many processes, especially now post-COVID, what are some of the key trends, either positive or negative, that you see in the clinical laboratory space recently, like I said, positive or negative, that are influencing our profession?
Yeah, I think, you know, these days people do have to be more creative with what they have. There is a definite workforce shortage. So either, you know, either the laboratories are having to do with less individuals, either because they can't afford to bring the people in, they're getting pressure to cut down on their number of staff, or they just cannot find the people to fill the positions that they have open. Additionally, labs are having to get more creative in either reducing their expenses or to increase their revenue. I do see a lot of laboratories who are having to stop doing some testing because they can't afford it, or they are bringing in more testing hoping that it'll increase their revenue and be able to allow them to continue to service their patients. I think that's one of the biggest trends, is just labs are having to get creative. And really at that point, you know, it's really important the laboratorians help to band together to give each other ideas on how they can be just improve on what they are doing. I think the COVID pandemic has really, I think, brought the laboratory community together a little bit. There, I've seen so many examples of labs who are sharing their resources. You know, a lab who doesn't have pipette tips, you know, oh, I have, you know, a couple extra boxes, let me send you some, or sharing of swabs, and I mean, any type of supplies. There's been so many just different reagent shortages over the last 3 years that I think laboratorians have come together a little bit more to be able to do better for their patients and overall public health. I think that's really the biggest trend, is just having to figure out what to do with less, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. And I don't know that trend is gonna really turn our tide anytime soon. You know, hopefully it does, but certainly I think it's just a well-documented situation, our workforce crisis. And people have talked about it so many different ways. You know, I think there are definitely some good conversations stirring around it. I think, we're all looking for, you know, concrete solutions. Many of us are like action-oriented people, like, what can we do now? You know, like we talked about before, you know, the advocacy in schools and all of those things are great. But, you know, if even a person in college, I'm 4 years from having them work in my lab. So what can I do now? And I like what you said about the networking piece, because that's really what's going to be one of the things that help us in the short term.
Yeah. Well, and another thing. So last year, COLA did host a laboratory enrichment forum. And one of the sessions we had kind of was discussing the workforce shortage. And one of the things that came out of that conversation was the importance of different groups coming together to try and help address, give suggestions on what to do. This year, actually, it'll be about in a month. COLA is helping to host what is being termed the Workforce Action Alliance Summit, which is has a planning committee including COLA, AAB and NYLA, CDC, the National Society for Histotechnology, ASCP, ASCLS, the American or the Association of Public Health Laboratories and the American Society for Microbiology. They are planning this alliance, which is going to be attended from by executives from various organizations to come together and really help try and collaborate to suggestions on how to alleviate this workforce shortage. And I'm really excited to see what helps come out of this. You know, it'll be interesting to be able to really get so many different people together to see what can be done.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me to hear just through the couple of minutes that we've been talking, all of the resources that COLA has to offer. So I'm curious, for laboratorians who are either accredited by COLA, obviously, so then you have that connection, or laboratories that are not accredited by COLA, you know, what are the levels of support? And then how do you reach out and start to access some of that support? You know, so Write Me, our laboratory is not affiliated with COLA. So what could we be offered, and what are we missing by not connecting, and how can we connect?
COLA does have a lot of resources for our laboratories. Obviously any accredited organization has their criteria, which gives some guidance. For example, we did put recently out some molecular criteria. Molecular is becoming really huge. And labs, we've noticed over the last year or two that labs needed more guidance on how to properly validate their LDT molecular testing. So we did put out criteria to help laboratories give them guidance on how to do it properly. In addition, you know, we do have plenty of COLA primers as well as that are available to our customers. From outside of that, we do have COLA Academy, which has some good, call it continuing education sessions, as well as the Laboratory Enrichment Forum, which is going to be a national laboratory conference, you know, just covering an abundance of topics, including, again, the workforce shortage. We really do strive to make a difference, not just for our customers, but with educating and bringing together laboratorians as a whole.
So would you say, I know we've kind of talked about the workforce shortage, but as you brought up the LDTs, it made me wonder, because there are many labs, and I have many colleagues that have struggled with kind of the loss of expertise in certain areas, particularly like flow cytometry. And so what would you say? Obviously, there's a workforce shortage. There's the need for expertise and growth and depth in those in the profession. But from a technical vantage point, what would you say like is the biggest challenge facing clinical labs today? And from your perspective of seeing so many different laboratories and how people are handling things, what would be your advice on tackling that challenge?
Biggest challenges, like I said, obviously the workforce shortage, but I think even from within the laboratories, just dealing with pressure from management or ownership, you know, people that are outside the laboratory, but controlling, say, their purse, I think that's a big challenge, is dealing with the pressure on how to do more with less. You know, they're pressured to spend less money when they're doing performance verification, or spend overall less money so they're not doing calibrations as they feel they should, or QA activities, or even doing QC. I think that to me really is one of the biggest challenges, especially when it comes to performance verification. That is one thing that I have spent a lot of time either with local conferences, national webinars, trying to educate labs on how they can properly do a performance verification so that they can do it efficiently. You know, there's nothing worse than doing what you think is necessary for validation, finding out that it's not enough, and having to go back and spend more money on that. I think it's really important to be able to understand really what are the requirements to be able to, or they have to be met, so that you can do it right the first time, not spending the extra time and not spending the extra money to go back and correct it.
Even more than the money, I would say the time, because we talked about the workforce shortage, the tech time, the people getting off the bench to work on these projects, to have a go live of anything prolonged, because we didn't get all that we needed up front. Yeah, that really, you know, can kill some projects and some workflows.
Yes. And validation is time consuming, mm-hmm. you know, and the more, you know, if you're talking like a simple little cassette test that like a mono or a strep or something, you know, that's pretty quick. And then you get to something that's on a chemistry instrument, you're changing to a new chemistry instrument, that takes a good week more. And then if you're talking something even bigger, you know, like a laboratory developed test, that could take months. It does take a lot of time. And so if you know exactly what has to be done, then you'll be able to do it more efficiently, which overall is more cost effective. So I definitely have spent a lot of time educating on how to do performance verification that is good and still effective and efficient.
And I want to shift back to you, because it seems like to be effective in your role, you probably have to have specific character traits, right? You have to have a lot of patience or be able to communicate effectively. So in your opinion, what are some of the most important personality traits or, you know, professional strengths that someone have to be successful in your role? Because quite honestly, some of our episodes, we talk a lot about transitioning from the bench to other roles and understanding that you don't have to be stuck on the bench. There are so many professions that our skills transfer into, and, you know, it could be infection control, it can be teaching, or it could be an accreditation. And so if somebody were listening to you and saying, you know what, perhaps, you know, being, you know, an accreditation surveyor training specialist would be for me, what do they need to kind of assess, get ready for, or have as a personality trait?
Yeah, so I'll just kind of approach that as a surveyor, not necessarily my role as a technical trainer, because all of our surveyors are educators like me. I just educate broader. Surveyors do certainly have to be patient. You know, they need to be able to take the time to listen to what is being told to them, take the time to look through documentation. But I think one of the most important things we have to do is listen to what we're being told and evaluate the people that we are talking to be able to figure out what is going to be most effective recommendation-wise to them. How can we, sometimes we have to change our wording a little bit. As a surveyor, we do talk to laboratorians, people that have master's or bachelor's degrees in medical lab science, but we also talk to nurses, we talk to physicians, we talk to, say, medical assistants. You know, being in the accreditation field is more than just talking to professional laboratorians, and we have to figure out what is our best approach to get across what we need to them. Sometimes, especially as surveyors, we have to be careful with our wording a little bit, in that, you know, when you get into some difficult conversations, our goal is to, when we leave there, is to make you feel positive about what has happened. And sometimes that does mean that you have to think about your words a little bit different. And, you know, patience is a very big part of that, certainly. But I will say, being a surveyor is extremely rewarding, just to, especially when you survey one lab, see, you know, give them a lot of recommendations, see that they were struggling, and then go back and see what kind of impact you had. There is nothing that feels better than that.
Well, I can imagine, because like we talked about kind of earlier, part of your role in this is being an advocate, not only for the laboratory profession, and people, you know, raising their standards or pushing themselves to do better or different things in the laboratory profession, but ultimately being an advocate for the patient. So for you, again, going back to you, what does advocacy in this laboratory profession mean to you? And why is that important in your role as you educate other professionals?
Yeah, advocacy for me is really just a lot of educating and guidance. You know, I want to see the laboratory succeed. So I help where I can, whether it be, you know, emails back and forth about, you know, how to fix a problem, whether it be an hour long phone call that I'm on a lab just trying to help them understand their issue and how to help them resolve it. Especially, you know, during the last 3 years, there's been so much information coming out of the FDA and the CDC and state agencies about what labs are supposed to do for COVID testing. And part of that was a lot of, I had to take in that knowledge, sort through it, and figure out how to give that information to our laboratories so that they are what's doing best for their patients and just overall public health. That really is my importance, is just being able to make the most change, which is overall better for the laboratory profession and for our patients.
I would assume that so much, because education is a reciprocal notion, right? Like, as I'm educating you, and I find this, as I'm educating, sometimes, a lot of times, I'm being educated also. So I wonder, for you, do you feel that sometimes too? Like, when you're going different places, when you're talking to different organizations or people, what are some of the greatest lessons you have learned while you're educating someone else?
Oh, yes. There's definitely times I don't know everything. And, you know, there are times I go into a survey and I learn new things. You know, I learn about different new test methods. I learn about just different ways to say, even something as simple as document control. When I go and do a survey, you know, and I see a laboratory that's doing like a totally different system for making sure that all their procedures are reviewed every 2 years, I'm always learning from laboratories about different ways that things can be done, so then I can share that knowledge. It's one of the things I really like about being able to survey so many laboratories, is to see how labs do it differently. And that way, being able to give those suggestions to the lab that it best fits.
I wonder, for you, kind of as we close it out, if there's certainly anything else that you'd like to leave the listeners about COLA, let us know. But for you, if you could give and go back, and, you know, hindsight is always 2020. So if you could go back and share one piece of advice to yourself while you were early in your career, what would it be?
For me, probably is to think about the big picture. You know, working in a laboratory, it's really easy to get caught up in laboratory politics or politics for the hospital and deal with that. We do have to remember why we are there. We're there to be able to provide good laboratory results, good data that can then help the patient. You know, if we lose sight of that, then you start, you know, questioning, are the results that we're giving the patient good? And that could potentially impact the patient. It's so easy just to get caught up in that you just have to remember why we're there in the first place. It's for the patient.
That is some really good advice. Like I said, for a young tech that's out there, it's easy to get caught up in drama, or like you said, politics, or things that have no weight on your future. Really, it would have no weight in 5 years from now, you know? Keep the main thing the main thing. So we got some quick hitter questions, right? The first thing that comes to your mind, say it. Don't hold back. We're going to try to catch you off guard, make you as transparent as possible. Through your professional career, as you've been growing as a professional, have you had a professional mentor? And if so, what is some of the best advice they've given you?
I wouldn't say necessarily mentor, but definitely my inspiration was my father, who was a med tech and went on to be a physician. Really seeing how he leads his laboratory to do the best that they can be, he has definitely been by far my biggest inspiration.
Okay. Yay. Good thing for dads out there. I love my dad too. Shout out to my dad. Yeah. What are three books, movies, or other resources you'd recommend to the audience, and why?
So I would definitely say COLA Academy. COLA Academy is COLA's source for professional education and continuing education. I would definitely say the book Bad Blood by John Carreyrou. I have read that book probably 3 times, and it is such a good look into what happens in a lab when things go wrong. And third, I would probably have to go with the ASCP has a website called Patient Champions. This is a really cool website. It really focuses on teaching patients and their caregivers about the laboratory. So it does have some educational resources that are not necessarily for the laboratory, but what I really enjoy about it is that it has stories from patients about their experiences with different conditions or diseases such as sickle cell or cancer. And it's really cool to hear it from their perspective and help remind you why we are there. So really impressed by that website.
Yes. And I love the book Bad Blood too. So I'll link all of these things in the show notes. 2 more questions. Is there a question that I didn't ask you that you wished I would have asked you? And if so, how would you have answered it?
Not that I can really think of, you know, yeah, this is so hard.
This is making me feel real good as an interviewer right now. This is making me feel real thorough. There will be a survey after this, an interview.
No, it's just, I really wish that I could be able to get into every single lab and help them. I just, you know, there is only so much time and so much effort, but mm-hmm. you know, I can't, every single email that I receive from a lab that is asking for help with something, an opinion, just, you know, does this look good or how can I fix this or what can I do better? I love getting those questions and doing what I can to help.
Well, and you know, I'm going to add a question based on that.
Sure.
Because at the end of this, I'm going to allow you to kind of tell the listeners how they can reach out to you. So they can connect to you and ask you questions if they'd like to.
Sure.
But for a laboratory professional, either in management or not, that's listening and is currently feeling discouraged for whatever reason, either being in this profession, either being in their role, is starting to feel that level of burnout that we talk about so much, what would be your advice to them?
Best piece of advice is don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, whether it be from your colleagues within your laboratory, you know, there's so many times that you can easily ask for help to get some of the load off. You know, asking from help from outside of your laboratory, from other laboratory professionals and organizations such as ASCLS, or even on groups on Facebook. You can ask for help from your accrediting organization. Do not be afraid to ask for help. You know, that can really help to give you ideas on how to solve your problem and make things just less stressful.
And we're all here together. I think, just like you mentioned it, you know, one of the ways for us to all get through hard times, whether it's professionally or not, is to lean on each other, connect with each other. Now, that can only work if you have connections. So the next thing is for all the listeners who aren't networking, who aren't a part of a professional organization, or who aren't connected to the laboratory community, to get connected so you can find that support. All right. Last question.
Okay.
Is there a guest that you'd like to see on our Elaborate Topics podcast? But there is a catch, because you have to help me get the person you name on this show.
You know, I think one of the people that I love listening to the most and is about as helpful, or if not more than I am, would be Dr. Tariq Adwan. He is a consultant that I've worked with doing laboratory developed molecular testing. That's his kind of expertise. He is very inspirational to listen to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Tariq Adwan, we're coming for you.
Sorry, Tariq.
Before we get out of here, can you let the listeners know how they can connect with you? How can they reach out to you after listening to this episode?
Sure, you can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Nicole Colby, or you can send me an email at N, which is short for Nicole, Colby spelled C-O-L-B-Y, at cola.org.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Nicole. This has been awesome. Wonderful information about COLA, and great, I think, tidbits and actionable items and advice that I think our listeners will really enjoy. So I appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
If you like what you heard and you want to hear more of our episodes, be sure to find any of our 3 seasons of episodes. We're on season 3, guys. So we are rocking and rolling on any of your podcast platforms that you listen to, or like I said, on LabVine. You can go over there and get a free subscription and listen to our podcast as well as a number of others. Be sure to connect with us on our Elaborate Topics LinkedIn group. Leave us some comments about what you'd like to hear next, or just comments about any tidbits that you've learned or some advice that you've gained from the shows that you've listened to. I really enjoyed today's episode. I'm hoping you guys learned a lot from it. So until the next episode and until next week, you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.